Stand to your feet. Co-Pastor Wissa going to teach the word. Come on, give her a hand as she come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You can have your seats. Amen. I give God all praise. Honor. I don't need it. I give God all praise, honor, and glory for who he is and what he is doing. Amen. My testimony that God is good. Amen. And I made a vow to the Lord that I will not take it back. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to go to Psalms 91, one of my all-time favorites. I set myself in agreement with the prayer that has already went forth. Amen. In Psalms 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Amen. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word. Amen. My topic on tonight is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And it's been ringing in my spirit for quite some time. Amen. So my first question on tonight is, what does it mean to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? What does that mean? Okay, I see y'all ain't gonna talk to me tonight. All right, come on deep.
Reminds me of just like, I'm from the country, so just being up on, going up under a big shade tree, and nothing like the wind, the rain, all this falling down by my side, but everything like that's in that inner circle, nothing can touch me. Amen. So that's what that means to me.
Amen. Deacon Henry.
Jesus said, if you abide in me, I abide in you, and he's in the Father. So it basically means every word that comes from God, you are to use his word to bring you direction, purpose. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so when you use God's word to be the guide for your life, you stay in the shadow of God. Because the only thing that we know, he said, God, in the olden days, in Hebrew 1, he said, God, in the olden days, speak to us through the prophet. But in this time, he speak to us through his son. And then John 1 tells you, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And he said, we dwelt among him, and he said that in him was life, and the life was the light of man. So if you abide in Christ's word, you stay with him, and basically obey the words from God, and that also means under your own vine and fig tree, meaning this facility where we learn about God, you are to stick to the word and the message that come through the house, because he said every man under their own vine and fig tree, because God has ordained them to carry out his purpose.
Amen. Anyone else?
When I read that scripture, it's symbolic of God's peace and his safety. And it's like we're making, it's like how we make our home, right? It's safe, it's comfortable. And it's a place that we have to choose to be. Sometimes people only call on the name of Jesus when they're in trouble. And it should be a place that we should dwell in continuously, not when it's trouble or problems or crises. We should find his dwelling place as our home at all times.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
I remember as a little girl when I actually realized I had a shadow, and it kept on going with me. I was so scared because it was so much bigger than me. It looked like me. And it kept on following me everywhere I went. And I was so frightened until my mom assured me that that's your shadow. It goes wherever you go. That means that the sun is shining on you and that it's casting who you are. And what that reminded me of is that, you know, the psalmist was saying to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, meaning that we need to follow Jesus wherever he goes, the Almighty God. And be in his shadow, because his shadow is much bigger than us. You know, his thoughts is greater than our thoughts. His ways is greater than our ways. So that's the best way to be, and the best place to be is to follow Jesus in his shadow. That's what I thought of.
Amen. Anyone else? Gore. Behind you.
For me, it feels like the safety of my home when I'm constantly praying and reading my Bible and just keeping all spiritual stuff. It's like it blocks away. It's like I feel safe. Amen. In the house. And before I go out, it's like I don't know. It's like I know he's with me. So when I'm out there, I don't feel worried about nothing. So when, like this week, things has been trying to mess with me, but I just been blocking it off and constantly praying literally like all day. And it's like nothing's been able to. I felt safe no matter what came up. And as I was coming to come to church today, when I come outside, they're always out there drinking and partying. And I like walked out and I stood on the other side, and I literally can feel the difference in me from all those others standing over there. Nobody really spoke to me. They usually speak, but they didn't, because I think I've been praying so much they can kind of like feel that she ain't feeling us today. So that's how I feel safe, just stay in the word.
Amen. Sister Lisa behind you.
I would say being together continually, just to be continued, to be together, accepted.
Amen.
Anybody ever chop cotton other than me and Pastor? No. Well, in the cotton field, the first thing you look for is the shade tree. You don't look for the porta potties. You don't look where you're going to use the bathroom. You look for the place where you're going to get rest. So your day should be a place designed where you're looking to get rest and peace. You worked harder daily till you can get to that place of peace, which was that shade tree. That's what I think about.
Amen. Amen. I wrote down, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty means is to live under the promises of God's protection. Amen, to live up under the promises of God's protection. And as testimony was going forward, actually, Minister Avance, he always get them testimonies that choke you up a little bit. But that's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. When God can tell you you're doing everything right, and a calmness and a peace that comes over you, that's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That's his protection, amen. So we're going to break down the words that's in the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwell means to live in or be inhabited. To live in, to dwell in the word of God, to live in. Shelter refers to a hiding place, covering, or protection. Shadow suggests the shade, comfort, protection, and defense. Everything that you all were saying. Abide means to lodge, to live, to spend the night. Amen. So when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you don't have to worry about the darts that is thrown at you. You don't have to fight. God will fight for you. And when you are a child of God, you have to understand that when you come into battles against the world, you don't have to pull out that old man for nothing. I like Deaconess Strange said, when she turn them over to God, it always works out. And that's how you have to do with every situation that comes up against you, whether it's a person, a thing, no matter what it is. Turn it over to God, and he'll work it out on your behalf. No need to be worrying. No need to be carrying around, showing it all on your face. If you trust God, trust the process, and believe that he's going to do it for you. Amen? You got to understand, most of us always want it instantaneously. We like that microwave stuff. We want it instantly. And when it don't come instantly, that's when we start getting worried. We start getting upset. We start holding our head down, saying, oh, it is me, Lord. We go from the front of the church to the back of the church until we're out the church. We start blaming everybody around us with all the situation that's going on, rather than saying at this point, God, I trust you. I may not understand it, especially when things you don't understand. When it comes up against you and you don't understand it, you're ready to fight. Literally. But God wants you to fight in the spirit and believe him in the process of things that's going on. He's working it out for your good. Amen. You don't have to understand everything. Just trust him in all things. Amen. And believe he'll reward you. Every battle that you're going through, God got you covered. Amen. No matter if somebody is lying on you, if you hear and know somebody is talking about you, no matter if you see somebody disrespecting you, because you can see it as well as you can hear it, no matter if your kids are acting up, no matter what type of sickness is coming your way, amen, understand God got you covered. He will fight your battle. All you got to do is abide in him and trust him in the midst of the situation. Amen. He will fight for you. Daily task. People coming up against you at work. All you got to do is go in the bathroom and say, God, I trust you. In the midst of it all, I trust you. Amen. Promotion comes from above. Amen. Not from man. So if you're doing the work, you'll get the promotion. Amen. If you ain't doing the work, you're not going to get promoted. And that's on normal job as well as in the household of God. If you're not putting God first, how do you expect to get promoted? If you're not taking your time and reading your word, how do you expect to hear from God? How do you hear that your mother is calling you? Because you done learned that voice. And for me, I'm calling you one time, and it better not be no huh. You better come running quickly. Amen? And that's how you got to understand with the word of God. If you put yourself into the word of God, when something happens, I'm covered. It ain't got to show on your face. Ain't nobody got to pat you on your back, trying to figure out what's wrong with you, calling you, trying to figure out what happened. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And then you'll testify what you've been through, and they'll be like, I can't believe. Yes. Because I was abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? That's what you have to do. That's what you have to go on a daily basis, understanding who you are as a child of God. Amen? It's just not a Wednesday fix. It's just not a Sunday category. Amen? It's an everyday routine when you get up. It ain't, Lord, thank you that I'm alive. And then you go on by your day. What have you given unto the Lord? You have an hour break or 30-30 or maybe 30 minutes break and 15-15. But you can at least give that to the Lord. You don't have to eat all the time. Eat the word of God. Because the devil will kill you with, you got to eat. I got to have this. Die to flesh and live for Jesus. I mean, you don't have to eat all the time. See what the word has to say about you. That's how God talks to you, is in your word. Amen. Questions or comments? Amen. My first point. When you abide in the shadow of the Almighty, there's divine protection and refuge. It protects you from the terror of the night and from the arrow that flies by day, or the trouble and dangers of life. It's like a mother bird that takes the wings and cover its babies from harm Amen. Y'all all mothers are, women are mothers, men are fathers. But y'all know how protective we are about our babies. That's how God is about us. You know, I'm so bad. Like, we went to my grandson's football game in Denver. And I cannot stand for them kids touching on him. It's tackle football, y'all. And this little boy just pushed up like, why you gotta push him like this? So I said, I can't look. Because he's playing the sport, and he playing the sport well, but that's my protection. I'm yelling like, get your hands off him. But he's trying to keep him away from the ball because he's trying to get the ball. But that's how Jesus is about us. Amen. He protects us just like that. Amen. Protection happens when you are willing and obedient. You will eat the best of the land. Isaiah 1 and 19 says, turn there. Isaiah 1 and 19. Any questions or comments? Sorry. It's up there. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Amen. Willing to obey, you will eat. Amen. The good of the land. How many of us like that with our children? If they're obedient, you'll give them anything they want. Amen. That's how God is with you. If you're willing and obedient to what his word has to say, even when it hurts, even when it don't feel good, you still got to be obedient to the word of God. You still got to obey what God is telling you to do. Amen. And you'll eat the fruit of the land. You eat the good of the land. In order to receive his protection, you have to be willing to allow him to and not to do what he needs to do with you. Amen. And not in something, but in all things. Not in some things, but in all things. You know how we half mask? We're going to give him some of us, but not all of us. God is telling you to go left and you want to go right. But he keeps saying go left. But you keep saying, Lord, I need to go right. That's not willing nor obedient. So you can't eat the good of the land. God says do this, and you said, no, I need to do that. Or your man to God saying do this, and you said, no, I don't hear that. That's not willing, nor is it obedient. Amen. How many of us in leadership, and in leadership, you want somebody to follow what you're saying, but you don't know how to lead? When it's your time for you to listen to somebody, you're saying, I don't know what they're talking about. Who do they think they are? But when it's your time to lead, you want somebody to follow everything that you say and do. How come they? Well, what are you doing? You got to be willing and obedient in all things. You can't do it when you're leading, and then when it's your time to follow, you don't want to do it. It just don't sound right. If God told him to do it, then do what he said do. Whether it sound right or not, take it to the Father. He'll work it out on your behalf. He will not hurt you. He will not lead you wrong. Amen? So then there's a confrontation going on. But when it's your time to lead, you're upset because they're coming up against what you're saying. But when it's time to follow, you want to be confrontational. Is that God? That ain't the word of God. And you cannot eat the good of the land. So understand the position that you're in. Whether you're a leader or a follower, whether you're following or you're leading, understand the obedience behind it and see what God do for your life. Amen? Any questions or comments? I'm going to call y'all. No, I'm not. In order to abide under the shadow of, point number two, in order to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you have to have intimate communion with God. Intimate communion with God. You have to have a deep relationship with God. You have to know how to hear him. You have to understand his will and experience his presence in a tangible way. You have to know and have a deep relationship with God. You have to be intimate and commune with the Father. That's at 2 o'clock in the morning when you don't want to wake up. It's too cold to get out the bed. I got to get up in a couple of hours. I know you ain't telling me to get up. Get up. Get up, because he want to commune with you. He want to have a relationship with you, because the other 9 hours that you're up in the daytime, you're busy at work. So you got too much going on. So this is the time God says, I need to talk to you. Amen. This is instructions I have for you. You got to have a deep relationship with God. And I think I said it before, and you've heard it a million times before. When you have that deep relationship with the Lord, coming in the household of God is easy. Praising God is easy. Singing before his presence is easy. Hearing the word of God, you'll write down so much stuff, it'll be outside of what Pastor Wilson say, adding on more extra, you'll have a book by the time you leave, because you can hear him talking to you, because you've been communion with him. You've been spending time with him. Amen. It'll come out your pores. You will look like it. You will sound like it. You will act like it. When you begin to spend more time with the Lord. Amen. Question. And the ones that ain't answered before, answer this time. I'm going to close my eyes. How do you hear God? Mo talked out of turn. She didn't even raise her hand.
Sorry. In his word.
I was going to say the same thing. You hear it through his word. You hear it through both you and Pastor when you're speaking to us, through whoever leader is up there. We should be hearing from God as well.
Anyone else? How do you hear from God? Manny.
I would say by being fully committed, submitted. You know, I know I had a million things go through my mind all day, every day, especially as an entrepreneur. But, you know, I always got to remind myself that no matter what I think I should be doing or I think I should be at, God is in control. And if I listen to him, he'll talk to me. But I have to submit to him and not to my fleshly desires and my fleshly thoughts.
Amen. Anyone else? How do you hear from God? Sister Reese.
She had said what I was going to say, so I was sitting up here like, okay, what else can I? In addition to what Minister Avery said, I get quiet. I turn everything off around me and just sit and listen. It's like throughout the day, I pray throughout the day, and then I sit and I listen for an answer. If I don't get the answer, it usually comes as soon as I come in the door, like during service. Sometimes it could be something that y'all not even preaching about at the moment, and God will just release that thing, and that'll be like the peace that I need to break through whatever I may be dealing with at the time. And then I pray. When I'm praying, I ask, like, if there's anything in my mind that is not of God, to be quiet so I can hear clearly.
Amen. Next question. What do you do if you want promotion from your natural job? Anybody? Everybody work? Everybody got a job? What do you do if you want something from your natural job, a promotion?
You get the for us military folks, the SOP, and we follow the standard operation procedures. But for civilians, y'all get the book, the playbook, you know, and you follow the playbook, the manual, and do everything. So our Bible is our manual.
It's just y'all don't know, the only army he ever been in is for the Lord. Yeah.
You asked for it.
You asked for the promotion?
Yeah.
If you want a promotion, to me, you got to go above and beyond what you're already doing. You can't do the same thing and expect a promotion. You might as well stay in the same position. But for me, if I want a promotion, I'm going to go above and beyond what I'm already doing so they know that I'm ready for the next level.
Yep, because y'all going to go pick up coffee. You're going to go 30 minutes out your way to do whatever you need to do to make sure that boss see you because you want your promotion. Amen. You know, being there, do you need me to stay late today? I'll stay late for you today. What do you need? You want me to pick your coffee up? I'll go get your coffee. Because you want to be promoted. So that's what you do in the natural world for your promotion. In the spiritual world, you immerse yourself reading and studying the Bible daily. You ask for understanding. Read with intention of hearing his voice. Amen. Do you read with intention of hearing the voice of God? Because you can't hear him while you're reading. Amen? Check for consistency. Use scriptures as a benchmark to discern if what you are hearing or feeling is aligned with God's character. Because you can be hearing something from the devil. And you'll swear up and down that it came from God. Line it up with scripture. Discern to make sure it came from God. And not your flesh, just because you want to hear it, just because it make you feel good. Talk and listen. View prayer as a two-way conversation. Talk to God and then practice stillness to listen for a response. How many of us talk to God and we just keep on moving? We don't take no time to hear what God got to say. You done put your 15 minutes in, and that's it. How you gonna hear? All you told him is what you want. You can't even hear what he says. How do you hear your kids? You tell them something, and you listen for a response. And the response, you want to hear the right response. So when you're talking to the Father, you talk to him and wait for the response. Amen? And make sure it ain't coming out your flesh response. Be specific. Ask God directly to speak to you. You can say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Practice silence. Practice meditating. Practice worship. And meditating don't mean the things of the world. Because you ain't meditating if you're down there praying and then French fries come across. Or that new couch you want. Or how mad your husband just made you. That's not meditating. That's just that you ain't discerning nothing. That's just, you still in the flesh at the moment. You got to step outside the flesh and get in tune with Jesus. Spend some time with him. Amen. I'm getting back to those things. I told Pastor Winston the other night, it feels so good. We ain't got but two kids up in this house. We can hear Jesus all day long. It's the best feeling ever because I was working hard with children. Then they tried. I said, "No, we're not doing it no more. No, don't call me. Don't email me. It's over." The Lord has me on a new mission. Amen. And it's great. Amen. It's great. So I'm having time to commune with the Father, spend time with him. Amen. Abiding in his presence. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I don't know how that looks for y'all, but for me, it's amazing. Y'all might be in trouble because y'all going to hear me more, but God is good. Amen? Amen. Any questions or comments? No? Okay, I'm going to keep on rolling. My third point is how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty is access to the divine promises. Dwell in the secret place. And when you dwell in the secret place, you got to live there daily. Get intimate with God. And I was thinking, who goes home in the evening time after a hard day's work And this is how you sit on the couch. No, you don't. You go home, you're going to kick them shoes off, you're going to grab your blanket, and you relaxing. What are we having for dinner? Because you done worked hard all day long. You're relaxing. Because I do. I lay up on that couch. I don't go to sleep. I don't take day naps. But I do relax. Amen? And ain't did nothing all day long. That's a good thing. God is so good for me. Amen. Amen. But once you're kicking off your shoes and you're relaxing on your couch, you're comfortable. That's how you got to get with Jesus, to get intimate. Get relaxed in his presence. Hear his voice. Amen. Commune with the Father. Talk to him. Take out all the noise. Amen. Amen. And you know you can't do it with a household full of children. So you got to do it before they get home or while they're in the bed. Where's your quiet time? Because as soon as I start praying, they got 500 different questions. But you got to do it in a moment, in a time where there's no noise. And it's just between you and Jesus. Falling in love with him all over again. Like you did when you first got saved. And you was hungry. And you wanted to eat the word. And you wanted to hear from him. And you wanted directions. We got to keep doing that. Every day, amen. So to dwell in the secret place, amen, is putting God first. Dwell in the comfort of Jesus Christ, surrender to his will, commune with him daily, just as you do on that couch with that remote control and binge watch a whole movie or shows over and over because you need to catch up. Psalms 27 and 5 says, Psalms 27 and 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. God will hide you when you get in the presence of God. Everything that you need, he'll have it for you. Amen. Trouble will come. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to have some disappointments in life. But when you put God first, he'll hide you up under his protection. Psalms 31 and 20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret place, secret of thy presence. From the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in provision from the strife of tongue. Amen. So when people talking about you, coming up against you, God got you covered. You ain't got to fight with words. You ain't got to say a word. Just turn it over to Jesus. And the devil always ruffle your feathers with the thing that makes you angry the most. He knows you. He knows the little tick that you have to get to you. And he always bring it to your forefront to get you upset. But if you put God's word there, it don't matter what goes on around you, it will not come nigh thy dwelling. You can still smile knowing they talking about you. You can still give them a hug knowing they done said hateful things to you. You can still bless their spirit knowing all the things that they've said. Why? Because God is hiding you under his pavilion of protection. Amen? Any questions or comments? This is my last time saying that too, because y'all act like y'all can't talk tonight. Go ahead, Dickens. I'm playing.
So I had to apologize to my husband today, because yesterday I had... we have a little area in our bedroom. It's like a little comfortable little spot. And he, when I sat next to him, he was like, oh, you never come over here to relax with me. And I sat with that the whole night. And then today God reminded me of that. And what God was showing me was, you need to learn how to relax. And it really connects with what you're talking about, co-pastor, because we need, not only do I need to learn how to relax with my husband and like bring it down, I also need to learn how to really, really abide in his shadow, but relax and really commune with him in a quiet place. And God, like you was just saying, God is so good. Listen, Sasha, she go right to her cave. I'm trying to tell you, we don't even see Sasha after she come home from practice. So we have so many times where we have peace and quiet, and I'm not even taking advantage of that. So great lesson, great lesson.
Amen. Anyone else? Amen. So as a child of God, you don't have to worry about all the darts and arrows that are thrown at you. Know and understand that you are protected by God. Amen. And you have to gain his characteristics. Somebody give me the characteristics of Jesus. Sister Reese.
I think love, long suffering, gentle. I would say honest. I would say the fruit of the spirit, but my brain is tired right now. The fruit of the spirit.
Amen. Amen. How many of you carry that in the heat of the moment? I was fit to say, don't lie, because you know somebody come up against you, you couldn't get all the fruits of the spirit. But you say you created in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we got to die to flesh and then abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Go ahead, Sister Harris.
He's disciplined, because I couldn't be running around in the desert for 40 days with no food and water.
Most definitely disciplined. But you can. You can if you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. It can be done. If he did it, you can do it. Amen. Any more comments? What's the characteristics of Jesus? That was my question. Somebody else answer.
All-knowing.
All-knowing. Now, you're not perfect, so you ain't going to be all-knowing, but you can get close to it.
Forgiving, gracefulness, kindness.
Amen.
Direction. You had said something about direction earlier. Mm. And we easy to hear yes from God, but we don't wait on direction. Mm-hmm. And if you ain't a person that communes with God regular, teaching priests is necessary for you. You can't miss Wednesday and Sunday. You can't miss the person that God ordained to teach, because you'll miss all the directions. Because you'll hear yes and go off of your directions. But you know what God reminded me? He said, see why I didn't give it to you then? Because you was willing to bless, because I used to write stuff down, you was willing to bless people that come against this ministry and your pastor. And like, I remember their names. Y'all remember their names too. You know what I mean? But he's like, that's why I didn't give it to you then. Because we going to have a lot of money. I already know that. Y'all remember telling us in Oklahoma, y'all seen a bunch of money on us? God reminded me of that. You see what I mean? He started reminding me of that, but he said, I couldn't give it to you then, because you wrote down that you would bless them. Those people came against the ministry. You see? So, hey, whoever coming against the ministry, get out so he can give us what we supposed to get. I had to get my...
The door is not locked. Let's go. I want my people to have it. You know what I'm saying?
I want to mention something like that earlier when you were asking about how do we hear from God. It's in things like that when we may be making a mistake or something like that, and it come back to the remembrance of what the actual answer is.
Amen. Deacon Henry.
He was wise. And I think about, you know, you think about Jesus, you think about the human aspect of him. Like, he came as a child to show us how to make it in this world from an infant to the adult stage.
And even though he was fully God and fully man, the scripture said he stripped himself of all those godly attributes. And then the scripture said the child grew in stature and wisdom. So he had to be learning from somewhere, right? And so I'm like, he went up into the temple and he read with them. And then he said, and this day, that which you just read is fulfilled. And I'm like, Jesus been going up into the temple every Sabbath day or whenever they do go up into the temple. And he's learning from a child. Or he's either learning from Joseph and Mary and those things that got instilled in him. And so when he stays, he said that the things that he done because his father told him to do it. Well, he had to be learning it from the book, right? Because he stripped himself of everything. The only way he can commune with God is through the Holy Spirit. That's why he tell them, he said, only God know the day and the hour. You don't know it. I in my flesh don't even know it, so I can't even tell you. So he had to grow, he had to learn it from somewhere. And so if he learned it and then he was without sin, we have that same ability. And he tell us we have a high priest who knows about our infirmities. So he's empathetic also. And so when we're going through and we feel like we just can't make it no more, we have to always go back to the word, because just like Minister Avon said, this is the SOP. He's telling you, you're crying out, pity me, and then John 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So though you're crying, I need you to understand just one thing. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you can drive on through and get to that point.
Amen. Amen. Sister Lisa.
Well, as he was speaking, what came to me was he was focused, driven to do the Father's will.
Amen. All good answers. Who says they're created in the image of Jesus? So why do we get mad when stuff come up against us? He got angry, but did he sin? Did he get angry and go up against his brother and sister because they done made us mad? Did he get angry and lie? Or just lie? Amen. Did he steal? Did he kill? Amen. But we're created in the image. Did he hate? Because how are you going to be in the household of God and say you hate your brother and sister in Christ? Amen. He loved. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. Now, if I tell you you don't know who you are, you'll get offended. You'll get upset. What do you think you're talking about? But if we're created in the image of Christ, then we should be acting like Christ. Amen? We only dying. But we ain't got to die like he died. But we ain't acting like he act either. But we said we're created in his image. That's just a sound good moment, ain't it? I done told y'all about them cliches. If you're going to live it, live it. Amen. You shouldn't have alt with your brother or your sister. If there's a problem going on, let's get it fixed. We woman enough to deal with this. We man enough, let's take care of this. Amen. No two people are alike. Amen. You got your own thought process. I can't tell you how to think, but I can't disrespect you either, because I got Christ on the inside of me. What's rising up in you when you coming up against a man and a woman of God? It ain't Jesus. When you speaking out of turn, when you supposed to be speaking on Jesus, when you saying things that are hurtful and you know you saying it and it's hurtful, that's not God. That's not created in the image of him. How are you abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, acting any old kind of way, saying any old kind of thing? Your coworkers don't even know that you're saved. How is that abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? When your spouse make you mad, you turn down everything for 30 days. That ain't abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. When you said that's the man God gave you or that's the woman God gave you, what are we doing? We don't think nothing alike in a lot of areas, but that don't make us one, not one, because we are one. Amen? We come and communicate with voices and get it worked out. Amen? Are you really created in his image? Or are you just putting it on like a sticker on a Wednesday and a Sunday? And then you pulling the sticker off the rest of the days of the week. How are you walking around daily? Amen? Any questions or comments? In the Bible, you can find God being
I wanted the input, like when I used to study, I would just read the Bible, but it was more like just form and no substance. And, you know, if you ever had one of those eureka moments, my eureka moment came in this church when Pastor had a sermon. Well, it was a series of Bible study about body, soul, and spirit. That opened up the eyes of my understanding and took me to another level. Especially when he broke down what the kingdom of God, he said the kingdom of God, you'll hear the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. He said, though you hear it used interchangeably, the kingdom of heaven is a place, but the kingdom of God is the functionality of God in man. Man, that was my eureka moment. It opened my eyes and scripture just started flying at me to solidify that point. And it literally changed the way I read the Bible. Because now when I read it, I feel like I can carry it out. But before, it was just reading it, just form, but no substance. Like, I can't really put hands on a person and pray for them and expect something to happen because it's just word. And that part of coming in partnership with the Holy Spirit, I didn't have that understanding until that eureka moment. So you could be in the church for years and don't even get that understanding until you have that one eureka moment.
Amen. I totally agree with that. Amen. Anyone else?
I now know why I was reading Ephesians 5, and it's about being imitators of God. And it says in this word, it's amplified, therefore become imitators of God, copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father and walk continually in love. That is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. So, amen. I was reminded that when you were saying that we have to be like God. Let's not be fake. Let's not be a sticker. Let's be imitators and be what God is.
Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Even the series Dead to Christ, Dead to Sin, Alive to Christ, it's been hitting home in a lot of areas that you don't even realize that you need to die in. Amen. Amen. And then Sunday, I think he broke it down even worse and said, you're carrying a demon. If you know, anger, then you're housing a demon. Frustration, you're housing a demon. Amen. So some things you don't even realize that you're housing until you hear it across the pulpit. And it make, okay, God, let me deal with that. Amen. Any more comments? In the Bible, you can find God being a shadow. Isaiah 32:2 calls him the shadow of the rock. Song of Solomon 2:3 says he's the shadow of the tree. Psalm 63:7 says he's the shadow of his wings. Isaiah 49:2 says he's the shadow of his hand. God is the mighty refuge and fortress for his believers. Amen. He is your protection. He is your guide. And I tell multiple people all the time, anything you're going through, you can find it in the Bible. All you got to do is research it. Every question you have, the answer is in the Word of God. Amen? You can find it. Let's go to Psalms 91 and 3. It says that surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. Somebody tell me, what is the noisome pestilence? Anybody know what that is?
You ever, being that season where there's a bunch of flies and they just keep bugging you and just won't go away? That's the analogy of it. Like, everything around you is a distraction, right? But it's just noise, and it's just a pest, and it's only there to just irritate you. So that's what I think of the noisome pestilence, is the things that distract you from keeping your eyes on God and abiding under his shadow.
Exactly. Amen. Noisy pestilence can be deadly diseases. COVID going around. Who got COVID? I did not get COVID. I thank God. I did not. Amen. But deadly diseases can be noisome pestilence. Noisome pestilence can be any destructive, harmful, or evil thing that's coming against you. Amen. Just like Deacon Henry was saying, stuff that's constantly eating and dwelling in your spirit. Amen. It was noisome pestilence in the Bible. If you read Exodus, who read Exodus with all the plagues? The frogs, that would have been noisome pestilence in my eyes. Flies, livestock, pestilence. Let me break it down, just in case you ain't read Exodus. The plague of frogs is in Exodus 8, 1 through 15. The plague of flies is in Exodus 8, 20 through 32. The pestilence of livestock is in Exodus 9, 1 through 7. Boils, that can be on your body, it's Exodus 9, 8 through 12. Locusts, Exodus 10, 1 through 20. Darkness, Exodus 10, 21 through 29. But guess what? The Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were protected from the plagues through divine intervention and obedience to God's instruction. God protected their homes by having them mark the doorposts with the blood of a lamb, causing the final plague of death to pass over them. Amen? So if you're obedient to the word of God, the plagues will not come nigh thy dwelling. Amen? You can see it all around you, and it will not affect you because you're being obedient to the word of God. You're doing what God is telling you to do. You're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? It don't come upon us when hardship comes. Amen? And then we want to pray. Amen? When somebody done disappointed us, or we want something from the Lord, then we want to fast and pray. No, you got to be obedient to do it on a daily basis, so you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So when things going on around you, it will not happen in your house. Amen. And people are saying all kind of evil things. It will not come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Because you have put the Lord there first. Amen. On a daily basis, just as you're eating the word of God. Amen. He becomes an important factor in your life. I'm going to close with this. When abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, there are great benefits. You can walk and not be worried. You can run and not faint. Amen. I said you have to be persistent in reading and hearing the word of God. Persistence is the key to abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen.